I consider this such an honor. I was just thinking, Brother Frank, standing up, when I think of Ashland, Kentucky, this is the thought I have. Ashland, Kentucky. There's an oasis of truth here. It's been like this a long time. Like Katy, West Virginia. If you've never been to Katy, West Virginia, it's about as big as this building. But the Lord pleased to raise up a church there. Sent a faithful preacher. 60 years ago. The miracle of God's grace is that He let me go there. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be with you. I thank God for you. Lift up this assembly every day. Ask God's blessing on your pastor, his wife. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. I'm actually going to look at one verse, but I'm going to start. It's verse 9. But I'm going to look at verse 1, too. So I guess that makes it two. Two verses. Verse 1 starts off and says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah. All ye saints. Hallelujah. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. Four times in the scriptures. Hold your place right there and turn to Revelation 19. Four times in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Actually, the word hallelujah. Revelation 19, verses 1 to 6 is actually used. Hallelujah. That's a word we hear and you think hallelujah would be all through the scriptures. Four times. And it's all within six verses. Look, Revelation 19, 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, which is actually hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All the places where hallelujah. This is what praise the Lord means. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. L-O-R-D, all caps. Praise the Father. the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise to Him who chose to have mercy and compassion to whomsoever He would. We're here this evening, and we believe that. We believe that Almighty God chose, not because of anything that was good in us. I know that. Praise the Lord that you're here and I'm here. Praise the Lord for that. Left to ourselves, what would we have done? We'd no telling, Mike. Praise the Son who laid down His life for His people, for His sheep, saints. Hallelujah to the Holy Spirit. As the wind, just sovereign, according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, moves upon God's people, hearing of the gospel. He blesses that gospel to their heart, gives them a new mind, new heart, new understanding, new love, and seals them till the day of redemption. Teaches them. Right now, takes God's word and He brings it to our heart. You know, we think, well, I can remember that. I've heard that before. By faith, I believe that. Faith cometh. It cometh by hearing. I breathed yesterday. You know, that air is gone. I need a breath right now. I need a breath. Faith cometh. The Spirit of God takes it and blesses it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. But then he said, I will praise the Lord. Because He's given me a new heart. I know this. I know there's some people in this world that He's shown mercy, compassion. He said He would. I will have compassion. And that's a miracle of God's grace, but it's a miracle of God's grace to me that He would show me, give me a heart. I will praise the Lord. I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart, an earnest heart, heart of affection in my soul. He's given me a desire. I want to. But I think I have enough sense to realize why I want to. He made me willing. He gave me heart. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And the psalmist says, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. I looked those words up. You know, we always think we understand just exactly what every word means, but we would do well. Look them up. In the assembly of the upright, here's what it means. Circle of familiar friends. Circle of familiar friends. We, Brother Frank was saying, we were talking this afternoon, got there. We were just talking about the things of the Lord, about the mercy of God. And it just bore witness to my heart, this is comfortable. I just enjoy being able to, you know. And the amazing thing is that a believer talks like a believer. He wasn't trying to be religious. He wasn't. You know, you pick up on that real fast. You know, somebody trying to just... But God's people
speak of the things of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That word means the gathering. I tell you what, we just kind of bounced each other, you know, off each other, this, that, and the other. But I'm going to tell you something. There's an amazing thing that's happening right now. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you. Praise the Lord. The Lord's here. The Lord has been pleased. And to bless. And just the very thought of that rejoices my heart. The Lord's here. When the psalmist said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, I truly want to do that. I want to do that. I want to bless and praise Him with a heart of faithfulness. And I know, I told Frank this afternoon, you know, the scripture says that which is born of God sinneth not. That which is flesh, flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that's Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit sinneth not. Now, I know by faith that that's so. I know that. But do you know I can't see one thing that I've ever done that was truly faithful. But the scripture says, I will praise the Lord with a sincere heart. What I see is next to singing, down, here. It's trials and tribulations. But I do want to. I want to do that. I pray the Lord give me that heart of understanding. We praise and bless the Lord, give honor to His glorious name as we come together and preach the gospel. Last thing the Lord told His disciples before He ascended into heaven, Lord, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't know who the Lord's sheep are, but I know this. He's going to call His sheep out through the preaching of the gospel. Blessed Son. I know that. Praise the Lord for that. We know the subject, don't we? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and we know what that Scripture, we know who that Scripture speaks of. Speaks of Him. So we bless the Lord. We absolutely set forth doing that which the Lord has caused us to do. And I do. I will praise ye the Lord, and I'll praise the Lord. I want to be an example. I want to be an example of faithfulness. Embarrassed what I see myself doing, see myself thinking, but I do want to be an example. And you know that wanting to be an example, I didn't come up with that. I didn't come up with that thought. That's Scripture. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be a pattern. That's what he said. Be a pattern. You be a type. Walk with consistency. I want that. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Now I know that we've come together tonight. Truly, we've come together tonight. Not just because it was the night, well, you know, it's Thursday night and this was the night that we've, you know, Marvin could be here tonight, so we just, tonight, we just, no. You know why God's people came tonight? Because they want to hear of Him. Tell me one more time tell me one more time how the Lord has put away my guilt. Tell me one more time what He has done for me. I've been looking at the scripture, that demoniac of the Gadarenes of Gadara. You remember after the Lord commanded Legion to come out of that man, and that demon asked him, can we go into these swine over here? And the Lord gave him leave to go, and he converted that man. Gave him a new heart. And people in the town, remember, they came out to see, and they saw the man, and he was clothed, he was sitting in his right mind. And this is what he wanted to do. Lord, I want to go with you. And the Lord said, no. I want you to go back to your friends. You tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. Has had compassion on you. I read that, Frank. I thought, I'm going to have mercy and compassion. And the Lord told him, he said, I've had compassion on you. And he went and he began to publish. Looked it up again, find out. You know what he was doing? He was preaching. Wait a minute. He went back and started preaching in Decapolis, in that country of Decapolis. God called that man, delivered him from the bondage of those demons, from the bondage of his sin, gave him a new heart, a desire, and sent him. I just wondered, as they were sitting there together before those folks came from the city, I wonder about the conversation that he had with the Lord. Can you imagine what he heard? Like those two on the road to Emmaus. Didn't our heart just burn as he opened unto us the scriptures? Well, I began to think in that line of thinking, and I thought to myself, knowing what those back in Revelation 19 we just looked at, hallelujah, you're just, you're true, you've judged the great whore, you're right. The Lord is just. Say, I'm a Savior. Now, here's a question for me. For me to have a heart in crying unto Him, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'll praise the Lord. Here's my question. Is there any hope for me? I know that the Lord is a just God. Job asked this question, how should man be just? It says with God, it's before. That's the, look in your margin. How should a man be just before God? How? Do I have a hope crying forth for His mercy and grace to me? Crying unto Him, hallelujah. What is the ground? What's the foundation of a sinner's hope? Here it is, verse 9. That's where I'm going to be, right here. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Now, He sent redemption to His people. I know that's a fact. I know it's a fact. Let me tell you what the scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say that He sent the Redeemer, though He did. He did. But do you know everybody, just about anybody, ask anybody, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer? I believe that. Everybody believes that. But listen to what the Scripture says. He sent redemption unto his people. Now let me ask you this. Do you hear God's sovereign grace in that? He sent redemption. He didn't make it possible. He sent redemption. God Almighty sent redemption. And for whom did he send redemption? For whom? For his people. To the sheep, to the elect. Look at John 17. John 17, 2. Here you know this. It's the Lord's high priestly prayer. Listen to him pray. I'll read 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Let me ask you this. For whom did he pray? He said, I pray not for the world, but I'm praying for those that you've given me out of the world. He has sent redemption. Call his name Jesus, that he shall save his people from their sins. When the Lord sent Moses into Egypt, who did he go for? Yeah. Look at Exodus 3, 9 and 10. Exodus 3, 9 and 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. Who did the Lord hear? And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Hallelujah. He sent redemption unto his people. Came into this world, made of a woman, made under the law, but made sin. He hath made him sin. Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sent redemption. And this he did according to a covenant. A covenant of grace. This is what he said. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. He hath appointed, he hath ordained covenant grace. According to his promise, his word, God Almighty, who cannot lie. It's ordered in all things. He sent redemption unto his people, commanded, constituted, appointed that covenant forever. You know, God's people delight in the covenant of God's grace. This is sure. I know this. The Lord's going to call his people out. I know that. How do you know that? Well, because he said he was. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm not going to do it. God's people rejoice in that covenant. It's everlasting. This is an everlasting covenant. Look at look at Proverbs. You've read this before. It's good. Paul says, you know, not grievous. He say the same things unto you. He said, for you it's safe. I tell you this, it's safe for us to consider these things again. Listen to them. The everlastingness of his covenant. The one who is our redemption, the Redeemer himself, sent into this world. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 23. Here's the everlastingness of this covenant. I was set up from everlasting, from beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And here's the wonder of this everlasting covenant. Rejoicing in what, Lord? Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I've always loved you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Betrothed myself to you forever. Before there was anything but God, there was redemption. I can't even think of eternal. I can think back when I was, young. I told my mom and daddy one time there was something I remembered when I was. I can see it right now in my mind. My dad's sitting right here. There's a chair right here, and there's a set of stairs right here, and there's some windows right over here. I can still see it. And I told my dad, I described it to him. He said, you can't remember that. I said, yes, I can. He said, no, you can't. You were only a few months old. I said, well, how do I remember it then? That's the only thing I can remember about that house, but I can remember that. Now, that's how far I can go back. I don't even know how to think eternal. But this word right here says that before there was anything created, before there was God, he said, my delights were with the sons of men. Think to myself, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's people rejoice in the immutability of that covenant. It's everlasting, yes. But according to his word, this is the only way I know it, or you know it. God doesn't change. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, Jacob was the one the Lord loved. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. You sons of Jacob, you that are the objects of my mercy. You that I've been pleased to wrestle with. You that I have told you, let me go. And I gave you the heart to say, not unless you bless me, I just can't. Who do you think was holding on to who? Almighty God doesn't change. He said, I've always loved you. God who doesn't change, I can tell you the next thing.
He'll always love you.
In spite of what I see in me, in that covenant, he said, he commanded his covenant forever. And the people of God rejoice in the fullness of his covenant. Scripture says, Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in our husband, in the one that loves us, in our surety, in our refuge. If I be chosen in him, then the scripture sets forth that I'm chosen in God. If he's my surety, then God Almighty is my surety. I think of these words, Genesis, I'll just read this to you, Genesis 15:1. What did the Lord say to Abraham? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. I read those words and I think to myself, what a blessing. God would speak to a man. You know what? He does it right now. I know he does. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your heart rejoices. Would you hear him? And he's honored. And he's exalted. You hear these words. You say, you know, he's giving me an ear. I hear that. And I rejoice in that. And I think I can almost enter in to what those two on the road to Emmaus said. Didn't our heart burn within us as he just opened the scripture? You think, I've heard this before and I've heard this before. It's so good to hear it again. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, the fullness of his covenant doesn't change. It's everlasting. It's full. And one of these days, by the grace of God, we're going to understand that. We're going to know it then. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. We all admit it. You think there's things that I hear and I see and I just see in part and I know in part. But how about the graciousness of this covenant? This is not a covenant of works, keeping the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The amazing thing is to actually read in the scriptures some that the Lord called out of darkness and gave them understanding that they could not keep the law. But at one time thought they could. Saul of Tarsus, what did Paul say concerning what he used to think? Go back in Philippians, you know what it says. So he says concerning the law, he said, I was blameless. God's people. Oh, the mercy of God's grace in this covenant. I know this. He had saved me. He had to do something for me that I could not do for myself. He had to rescue me. Rescue me from myself. Rescue me from sin. Rescue me from bondage. I need redemption. I need redemption. And don't leave it to me. I know that. He is a man. The Word made flesh came into this world and in absolute obedience before His Father. As a man, He obeyed God. Never in one point offended because the Father said He did. It's my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. He earned righteousness. And that righteousness, the faith of Jesus Christ, His obedience, charged to my account, robed in that righteousness. I know what the Scripture says my righteousness is. This filthy rag. You know what that is. Not this. Listen to Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Who is a God like our God? Our God's not the one that's wanting us to do whatever we can to help Him, or He'll help us if we'll help ourselves. Who is a God like unto thee that continually pardons, that pardoneth? You know what ETH on the end of those words mean. He pardoneth. Faith cometh. He that believeth, that pardons continually, passing by the transgression of His people, and ever delights to show mercy. I get just wore out with people that don't do what I want them to do. Kids, man, I remember when my kids were growing up, Gabe was the worst. Whipping every day. And I think to myself, why don't you listen? Who is a God like unto thee? Having spewed out His wrath and His justice upon our redemption, His blessed Son, Almighty God pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. And the Scripture says He will have compassion, subdue our iniquities. They're not even going to have dominion over you. Oh, the presence of them there. The dominion. Sins shall not have dominion over you. And the Scripture says, Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea of His precious blood. He told Moses, said, you tell the people in Egypt, he said, you kill a lamb with the blood and the lamb with the blood. So I become there. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. You've heard this before. Not their faith, not their faith. When I see the blood. Because of the blood, He passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. Hallelujah. Holy and reverend is His name. Sacred and terrible. What that's
interpreted.
You know that doesn't mean bad. It means reverential. Unspeakably reverential. His position, his authority, his character, his essence, holy, holy.
It just, you know, I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. But people that put that reverence in front of their name, oh, how disrespectful, how irreverent. I want to think upon him. And I know, oh, I know that I don't. The will is present with me. How to accomplish that which I would, I find out. But I want to. I want to have a heart of respect, holy. That first line, I'm not going to preach out of verse 10, but that first line in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The respect of the Lord is the chief part. It's the heart of wisdom. Almighty God has been pleased to send redemption unto his people. He did it according to a covenant of grace. This is what God's people say.
Brother Marvin told me today his text. I got very excited. I love that. I love that verse. It's so good. Such a blessing. And I don't want to re-preach a man's message, but this is what I thought of when he told me this was his text. I thought of the Civil War. During the Civil War, and it may have just been a political move, I don't know, but President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. You know how many people read that and said, you know, I'm going to let these slaves go because the president said so? Not one. So what did the president do? He sent freedom. He won the victory and he sent freedom. So those slaves went free. God has an eternal covenant of grace. He proclaimed, those people are mine. They're going to go free. They're going to come to me. You know how many of them came to him willingly? Not one. So he sent redemption. He sent the Redeemer to accomplish it. He won the victory. And he sent redemption into the hearts of his people. Just what we heard, the preaching of the gospel. Oh, that's such a blessing. Marvin, thank you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, it is with hearts that are humbled and full of thanksgiving that we bow before you and say thank you. How we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you did not leave the salvation of your people up to chance or to our will or to our decision, but that you have sent redemption to the hearts of your people. Father, we pray that you bless your word as it's been preached. Father, we pray you'd use this message to send life to one of your people, to send redemption into their hearts this very evening, giving them faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for Brother Marvin. Pray your continued blessing be upon him and the ministry there in Katy. You give him traveling mercies to travel to Lexington and preach this weekend and to travel back home. Father, we thank you for your abundant mercy to us. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray.